Okay, let's dive in. You know that feeling, right? Using different bits of software and they just don't talk to each other properly. It's frustrating.
Oh, absolutely. Copying, pasting, trying to make things connect, it's a classic problem.
Exactly. And for you listening, maybe you're our learner persona today, someone who wants to grasp these big tech shifts quickly without getting totally swamped in jargon. Mm-hmm. This feeling probably rings a bell.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're looking at something new, well, relatively new, that aims to tackle this. The Model Context Protocol, or MCP. The idea is that it could finally bridge these gaps, delivering on that old dream of integrated tools.
Yeah, a dream that's been around for decades, really. This vision of loosely coupled software, components that work together smoothly, maybe even act a bit like agents. MCP is trying to make that real.
Right. Well, it's interesting, and what we want to explore today, based on a post by Kingsley Eidian, who's the CEO of OpenLink Software.
A key player in this space.
Definitely. He frames it as unifying different computing eras, taking the good stuff from the pre-internet days, mixing it with what digital natives expect, and boosting productivity for everyone using AI. That's the mission for this deep dive.
Sounds good. It's a journey through how we got here and where this might be going.
Okay, so let's rewind. Kingsley talks about the pre-internet era.
Yeah.
For our listeners, maybe Gen X or boomers who remember computers before the web was everything, what were the highlights then, productivity-wise?
Well, you had really powerful, dedicated applications, like spreadsheets, word processors, tools that did one thing really well. Very focused.
Lotus 1-2-3, word perfect.
Yeah. Exactly. Those kinds of things. And alongside that, you had these things called 4GLs, fourth generation programming languages. They were these declarative environments.
Declarative, meaning you said what you wanted, not exactly how to do it step by step.
Pretty much. Yeah. It allowed for much faster development of certain kinds of applications, often database-centric ones, almost like early low-code in a way.
So powerful tools, faster development. But Kingsley points out something was missing, right? This idea of a fifth-generation language, a 5GL.
Yeah, the dream was to have that same power, but with broad connectivity. The integration was the tough part. How do you make that super spreadsheet talk easily to the custom database app?
And attempts were made.
Oh, definitely. You had object-oriented programming taking off, CORBA, ODBC for databases. They all aimed for better integration, but none really delivered that seamless universal connection everyone was kind of hoping for.
Hmm. And then the web happened.
And that's the irony Kingsley highlights. The internet arrives, promising total connectivity, but for that generation, it actually kind of disrupted the progress they were making on integrated desktop tools.
How so?
Well, suddenly the focus shifted. Web development became the thing, and often that meant going back to basics, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, lots of manual coding, or you got locked into specific vendor frameworks.
Right, so that vision of smooth integrated productivity kind of faded for a bit as the web took over.
Mm-hmm.
The focus shifted.
It did. Now, contrast that with, say, millennials or Gen Z, the digital native.
Always connected. That's just the baseline for them.
Exactly. But here's the twist, Kingsley points out. Even with connectivity everywhere, have we really achieved truly seamless productivity tools for users or developers?
That's a good question. We have tons of apps, cloud services, but they often feel like silos, don't they? Moving data between them is still work.
It often is. And for this internet generation, there's often what Kingsley calls a coding-first mindset. The primary way to build or integrate is often seen as writing code.
So concepts like making your application work with any database or being independent of a specific tech stack may be less common.
Perhaps less emphasized than, say, mastering a specific JavaScript framework. It's a different focus.
So for this generation, comfortable with code and the web, what does MCP offer? Kingsley mentions vibe coding. What's that about?
Uh-huh. Well, MCP allows for this loose coupling, but specifically with large language models, LLMs, acting as clients. Vibe coding is, well, it's this emerging idea of interacting with systems more intuitively, maybe using natural language prompts.
Like telling the computer what you want in plain English.
Sort of, yeah. The AI, the LLM, understands the vibe or the intent, and MCP helps connect that intent to the actual data operations. It potentially lowers the need for traditional coding for certain tasks, which aligns with maybe a more intuitive interaction style.
Okay, so this natural language piece powered by LLMs, that feels like the real new ingredient here. Something neither the pre-internet folks nor the pure internet generation really had baked into their core experience.
That's exactly Kingsley's point. It's a fundamental shift in the UI UX. And MCP, in this picture, acts as that crucial middleware. It's the bridge between your natural language request and the underlying data, the systems, the actions.
Got it. Okay, let's make this concrete. Kingsley uses an example, a product sales performance dashboard from the old Northwind database. Yeah. Walk us through how MCP changes things there.
Right. So picture a standard dashboard. You get a URL, you open it, you see charts, tables, product sales, regions, etc. Pretty standard stuff.
Yep. Seen plenty of those.
But the key limitation he highlights is that the things inside the dashboard, product A, North region, $5,000 sales, they're just text or numbers on the screen. They don't have their own links. You can't easily click on product A within the dashboard to find out more about it.
Right. Static information presented together, not interconnected items.
Exactly. Now, he shows an enhanced version. Looks almost the same visually, but here's the trick. The names of the entities, the products, the regions are actually URLs, hyperlinks.
Ah, so product A isn't just text, it's a clickable link.
Precisely. It seems like a tiny change, embedding URLs as entity names. But Kingsley stresses this is the key. It enables seamless lookups for any entity represented by a hyperlink.
Okay, how does that work technically? Where do those links point?
Under the hood, this is powered by a knowledge graph. Think of it as a web of connected facts, and it's built using linked data principles.
Linked data. That's about using web technologies like URLs to connect data, right?
Exactly. So the data from the Northwind database is represented in this knowledge graph. Each product, each customer, whatever, gets its own unique web address, a URL or URI. When the dashboard is built, it uses these URLs.
So the dashboard isn't just displaying the name product A, it's displaying it as a hyperlink, pointing to the unique identifier for product A in the knowledge graph.
You got it. And because it's a standard hyperlink,
you can interact with it.
Right. Kingsley points out the user can just say CTRL plus click or command click on any hyperlinked entity.
And pop open a new tab.
With more information about that specific thing. Pulled directly from the knowledge graph. Maybe product details, maybe customer history, related orders, whatever is linked.
Wow. Okay. That feels much more dynamic, much more exploratory than a typical static dashboard.
It really is. And he makes the point that this is surprisingly rare in conventional BI tools or dashboards, especially if they were generated from a natural language query like, show me sales by product and region.
So MCP is providing the plumbing to make that happen, connecting the natural language query to the knowledge graph and enabling these hyperlinked results.
That's the core idea. It facilitates that connection. It turns data presentation into an interactive knowledge exploration.
Okay, bringing it all together then. Kingsley's argument is that this AI era with tech like MCP is creating a unified experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's bridging those generational computing styles and finally delivering on that old promise of agentic software.
Yeah, loosely coupled agentic software. He summarizes the key pieces. First, natural language becomes a fundamental way to interact, the core UI UX.
Mm-hmm.
Second, MCP provides that loose coupling. It allows different components, LLMs, databases, applications, to interact through a common protocol for accessing and manipulating data, doing CRU to operations.
Create, read, update, delete. The basics.
Right. And the result, enhanced productivity. And users can explore data more easily. Developers can build more flexible integrated systems faster. It's about realizing that agentic potential.
So it's like taking the focus power of those old dedicated apps, adding the ubiquitous connectivity of the web, and layering on this intelligent natural language interface.
That's a great way to put it. It's a convergence. Combining the strengths, maybe overcoming the weaknesses of the previous eras into something potentially much more powerful.
And he mentioned specific tools they used for the demo.
Yeah, briefly. Anthropic's Claude Desktop as the LLM client, OpenLink's own MCP command line tools and server handling the protocol, and Virtuoso Dataspaces managing the knowledge graph underneath. And he links to other resources if you want to go deeper on MCP or knowledge graphs.
So the big takeaway really feels like MCP is presented as a practical way to achieve that long sought after goal. Software components, maybe even AI agents, working together flexibly because they're loosely coupled and can understand each other via natural language and this protocol.
Exactly. It's about building systems where intelligent agents can navigate and interact with this web of hyperlinked data and services much more fluidly, finally delivering on that decades-old vision.
It really makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If this catches on, imagine a future where all digital things documents, data points, contacts, mm-hmm. products have their own unique linkable identity, not just within one dashboard, but everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
How would that change the way you, listening right now, interact with information? Forget just dashboards. Think about research, collaboration, just managing your digital life. What kind of productivity or knowledge discovery could that unlock that we maybe haven't even properly imagined yet?
It's a powerful thought. A truly interconnected web of information, navigable by both humans and AI agents.
Definitely something to chew on.
Yeah.
A fascinating look at where things might be heading.